Hello, everybody, and welcome to the All Points Road Trip. As always, I am Lacey Lee Elliott, and I am very excited to have you guys here today, partly because tomorrow, which is November 11th, obviously Remembrance Day, of course, but also a really important day for me. And I was kind of looking at the calendar and realized that November 11th symbolizes two really big days for me. The first thing, it was on November the 11th, 2017, that I went in to have my MRI and they found my brain tumor. It's interesting because pretty much 6 months later, or if you want to look at it from November 11th now, 2018, it was 6 months ago that I had my craniotomy. Happy 6 month crani anniversary to me. I really cannot believe that this is where I'm at. I want to talk to you today a little bit about the past year, but more so the focus on the last 6 months and really the recovery, some of the struggles and lessons I've learned and experiences that I've learned since having this craniotomy and the tumor removed. I had started having anxiety, I would say 5 or 6 years ago. My second marriage had really not ended very well at all. And I had panic attacks. I started seeing a counselor, started on different types of medication, and I was working hard to try and figure out what the trigger was. Now, I know a lot of you listening are familiar with anxiety. I know a lot of us have connected on email and social media that you also know what anxiety is like, and it was horrible, absolutely horrible. And the struggle that I really had was trying to figure out what my trigger was, knowing what was causing the anxiety to be able to avoid those things or be a little bit more prepared if I knew I was going to have to face some of those things that might be causing that anxiety. A big struggle for me with the, I guess, type of anxiety that I had, and I know different people experience anxiety different. I felt like I was being squeezed to death. There was a tightness in my chest, around my lungs, around my heart. It was like someone was trying to suffocate me, and it was horrible. If you are familiar with the five love languages, my love language is touch. And having an anxiety attack and being in that physical place of discomfort, I was scared. I was freaking out. And I would end up going sometimes into this flight or fight situation because a lot of people that knew me and loved me would want to touch me and comfort me because that's really at my core what I wanted. But the anxiety of feeling I couldn't breathe and the walls were closing in on me made me push people and objects away. I quite often would run. I would run because I needed space. I needed air. I felt like I couldn't breathe. It became to the point where I started getting these kind of out-of-body experiences and really overpowering senses of deja vu. And I'm laughing a little bit right now as I say this because if anyone else watches Grey's Anatomy, I understand that there's a lot of it that's not true. However, Grey's Anatomy was something that really pushed me to think that there was something else wrong with me. If you go, and I've fair enough, I've only watched the first, whatever, 10 seasons, 11 seasons that are on Netflix. But how many people, how many episodes are there a patient that has a brain tumor. And I watched these shows, and I know there's actually two of them where a girl had a meningioma, which is the type of tumor I had, but there were so many episodes that I watched, and I saw people having hallucinations, having severe changes in their memory, changes in their personality, becoming aggressive, having seizures, kind of an overall loss of their general awareness. And I knew there was something wrong with me. I'd been seeing a counselor, I'd been taking medication, but it didn't feel, I didn't want to think that there was something mentally wrong with me. It just didn't feel right. It didn't sit with me. It wasn't me. I mean, I was almost 40. I was almost 40 years old, and this was something that it wasn't me. And I say that because I was dating a complete ass for quite a while I had this tumor, unbeknownst to both of us. And I remember having anxiety attacks and panic attacks and freaking out and him getting so pissed off and calling me a crazy bitch. And I remember crying and begging with him and saying, this isn't me. This isn't me. Thankfully, that relationship ended, and there's going to be a court case because he feels, whether it was anxiety or a different type of mental illness or even a brain tumor, it seems that he thinks that any of those would be an excuse for him to have hit me. Hopefully, that will go as planned. So I sold my condo because I didn't feel safe at home. I had a brain tumor. I had a brain tumor and was dealing with this crap. And maybe I was running away. Maybe I should have stayed and been stronger. But honestly, I was all alone. I was scared because of the situation with my ex-boyfriend. He actually reached out to several of my friends and my employers and said things that I had said to him in privacy. He said things and twisted them. I realize that if they were real friends, they would have believed me. I still have one or two that are still in my life after all of this, but I didn't feel comfortable being in my home and waiting for surgery, waiting for this craniotomy. Yes, I think that maybe selling my house was running away and trying not to avoid dealing with it. But at the time, it was the best decision I felt I could have made. And it was in this time, around March of last year, that I was seriously thinking about, fuck it, let's move into the RV. May 11th, 6 months ago tomorrow, was when I went in for surgery. It seems like it was a lifetime ago. 6 months, really, I don't even know what to say. I was terrified. I'm super thankful that my mom came out to take care of me. She lives in Calgary, and I realize that no matter how old you are, you will always be your parents' kids. But after all these things, after all these problems with my ex, I didn't actually have a lot of friends around. He had reached out to several of them and told them some not very nice things that I had said and twisted some things that I had said. And I realized that the people who love me and care about me and know me believed me. But there were a few friends that I lost along the way. And I know part of it was also my bitchy attitude. I was scared, and I know I was being a little bit of a bitch when people were trying to help me. I also know that, unfortunately, I had a tumor the size of a golf ball in my head. And I think now I know. I know a lot of my behaviors and some of my feelings and responses were affected by this tumor. Because I don't feel those things anymore. My head, the thoughts in my head and the feelings in my head, 6 months now with that tumor gone, it's different. And I really don't know how to explain it. What I could say is when I had the tumor, my memory was shot. My emotions were so wound up tight. I felt like a ticking time bomb. I also, at this point, had a blood clot. I really had a lot on my plate. And who knows at this point if my behavior and my feelings were because I was freaking out about what I was waiting for or how much was actually caused by the tumor. But I can tell you 6 months later, my head, my thoughts, my mind, it really feels different. I don't feel as tightly wound up, and my memory is definitely improved. I literally feel 10 pounds lighter 6 months after my craniotomy, and I feel like this incredible weight has just been lifted off. I was only in the hospital for about 6 days, and it was really annoying. I was really happy to come home. I shared a room at the hospital. This was 100% my choice because I didn't want to be alone. My biggest fear, as I'm sure is some of you, is to die alone. I think that I'm inherently a lonely person, but I have so many different types of people come in and out of my life, and I have no problems meeting people, but I love having people around. I love the feeling of it. And I know, because I've done a lot of work on myself, that I am inherently a lonely person. But I also know that my biggest fear is dying alone. And I was scared. I was scared about what could happen, and I did not want to be alone in a hospital room if something were to happen. 6 days, I went home. And recovering from a craniotomy, I know, is different for everybody. Obviously, I had headaches, crazy, piercing, splitting headaches. Very focused on the incision site and where the bone was actually removed. It was incredible, absolutely horrible, incredible pain. I couldn't drive. I was weak and off balance. I think that I was sleeping probably 16, 18 hours a day for about a week. It's all I did. I didn't even want to shower. It took too much energy to take my clothes off. It was even physically hard for about 2 weeks when I came home to get in the shower by myself and stand up. I tried a ketogenic diet. If you're not familiar with that, it is a high fat, almost zero carbohydrate diet. It was suggested to me to help improve brain health, but this might be too much information. It gave me exploding diarrhea. Anyway, I am back to my normal food. Definitely, having gone through this the last 6 months, I am making some different choices in the foods that I'm consuming. As a personal trainer and a certified sports nutritionist, I was always aware of what I was putting in my body, but I was eating to look a certain way. And I was not eating junk food, was not eating a lot of crap by any means, but the food I was choosing to consume really was just to look and feel athletically a certain way. So the last 6 months, having tried the ketogenic diet and doing a lot of research on brain health and cognitive performance, I've added carbohydrates back into my diet. I am cutting down my meat consumption, and the meat and animal products I am consuming are all coming from ethically sourced farms and locations. And I am eating a lot more vegetables, green leafy vegetables, and healthy fats than I've ever eaten before. 6 months post-craniotomy at 40 years old, and I am unbelievably grateful. I was in Toronto a couple of weeks ago and had a visit with a friend of mine. His name's Nathan, and I hadn't seen him since before the surgery. And one of the first things he said to me when he hugged me was, "Man, you could have died." And it was the first time that someone had actually said it out loud to me. It was the first time I had heard those words other than just the voice in my head. I could have died. Now, I always say, and I have said this for many, many years and probably even decades, that life is short. You never know when we're going to go. I mean, you could get hit by a bus tomorrow. People who know me have heard me say you could get hit by a bus tomorrow a lot. But this was the first time in my life where I actually understood what I meant when I was saying that. It reminded me of why I bought this stupid RV. I'm not saying the RV is stupid, but I'm feeling overwhelmed and perplexed and lost. And but it reminded me that life is short and I want to live my life for me. I don't want to work a job for someone else. I don't want to fit into the cookie cutter box that everybody else thinks life is supposed to be. I've gotten the thumbs up from my doctor, my family doctor, the neurosurgeon. I am good. I am healthy. I am fan-fucking-tastic. I'm going to get a follow-up MRI next May of, I guess that would be 2019. But I'm good. I'm real good. And I have this IV. I have this RV. And as scared as I am, I'm reminded that 6 months ago, there was a day I was afraid I was going to die, like genuinely afraid. And that I love people. I love traveling. I love connection. I appreciate vulnerability, communication. And I am excited to be able to be alive and do more of those things. The All Points road trip, the whole idea behind this rebranding was that the favorite things in my life to do are road trips, travel, hang out with Jasper, try new food, meet new people. And I'm sitting here knowing that 6 months ago, I thought I was going to die. And I didn't. And that maybe tomorrow I could get hit by a bus. Maybe tomorrow. And I really want to live my life. I want to live my life for me, traveling, connecting with people with Jasper. And I went to the RV show in the summer. I think it was in August. I talked to a gentleman about RVing down in Mexico. I talked to the Canadian Snowbird Association about a great place to possibly spend winter in Arizona. I'm not going to lie. With everything here, and by that I mean kind of nothing here. No family, no house, no sticks and bricks house. No reason to really stay here. I might have been joking when I said it, but there is a serious part in my brain. There is a serious part in my tumor-free brain that thinks that I might take my RV, take Freya. I don't think I've shared that yet. My RV travel trailer, Freya. And head south for the winter for a few months. Just get out, get on the road, and be free. Go and live my life. Because it's been 6 months since I had a fucking tumor removed from my head. And I'm doing really good. I'm definitely going to do some more research on this situation. But I am going to be 100% honest with you guys. I think that heading south in my RV with Jasper would be the ultimate way to celebrate 6 months after my craniotomy. Life really is short, you guys. Thank you, as always, for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I will be back next week.